You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the M Squared TechCast, now well into its fourth year.
Yep.
Are we up to 150 yet? Somewhere around in there?
Yeah, I think 151, somewhere around there.
Oh, that's dangerous stuff, that 151.
151, yes. I'll tell you some stories, but I won't.
Okay, so. from my flaming youth or wasted youth.
When you had red hair, shoulder-length red hair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so.
Yep. Redheaded Ted Nugent type of hairdo. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and same politics, I think, too,
right?
Oh,
yeah, right. Never killed a deer, but other than that.
Well, kibitzing here, we have on the line calling in from Bullseye Telecom. I'm going to make sure I pronounce this correctly. Alethea Niner? Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
All right. We're halfway there. And you are the, interesting title, Executive Resolution Specialist.
Yes, sir. That's what I do here at Bullseye.
What is that?
My main role is...
Go ahead.
Well, it is to mainly focus on the orders that are in distress within Bullseye, and I get them back on rails and through to completion to meet, you know, customer needs and exceed their expectations.
Okay. And so a week or two ago, I published a story talking about how Bullseye is going to be supporting a couple of radiothons, and I think those radiothons are, is it this week or next week?
There is one this week on Friday.
Okay.
And then there's one on December 6th, the first week in December.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. So you're going to be providing on the site infrastructure. What does all that mean? How would you explain that to an audience?
Well, basically, Bullseye provides the call center facility, which includes all the handsets and the hardware behind the scenes. So we're able to take an influx of calls up to, you know, a couple hundred callers at one time into the call center to take donations to help raise funds for these charities.
Okay, Matt.
So what is this program called? What's it part of?
This is part of our Bullseye Cares. It's our charitable donation program in which we give back to the community, one of the multiple ways.
All right. Now, I've been involved in some telethons, radiothons in the past, and you know, getting the phone line set up was always a major hurdle. I would imagine with VoIP, it's the provisioning is a lot easier these days. Talk about that a little bit.
Actually, it is a lot easier. You don't have all the wiring and all the extra components that you have with the hardwired services. So, I mean, it still takes several months of planning to do an event like this, but in terms of actually getting the phone line set up, that piece is easy. Once we have all of the plans set up and ready to go, it's just a matter of a simple configuration, and it just takes a day or so to actually get the phone line set up.
Okay, and let's talk a little bit about the one that's going to go down this weekend, November 16th. You're going to be at the Orchard Lake Mall in West Bloomfield for, I'm not familiar with WDVD 96.3. What kind of station is that? What do they do? What's a music format?
They are, I guess you would say, like today's current, today's hits.
Oh, that's why he's not familiar with it.
Today, they play.
That's right. I'm a classic metal kind of guy. You know what can I say?
Yeah.
You know,
so. Not much for the top 40 these days. Yeah.
You're going to be set up out there, and then folks can call in, and just like any other radiothon or telethon, they can make pledges, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yep. And we'll have the call center manned from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. And then Bullseye theirself is also sending on top of the donation of the call center. We are manning the phone bank from 4 to 8 as well with a set of 8 volunteers.
Yeah. Okay. I assume you're going to be out there managing the whole thing or something, right?
Yes, sir. I will be there from setup to take down. So I'll be there. I'll get there at around 5:30 in the morning, and then I will leave at approximately 8 or 8:30 when we're all said and done.
Wow.
Okay. So what's the object of the phone of the telethon here?
Radiothon.
This particular one is to help raise money for the Detroit Dog Rescue. So they take in, you know, abandoned dogs, abused dogs, neglected dogs from the Detroit, Metro Detroit area. And then they put them through rehabilitation programs so that they can be adapted back out into the community and not be put to sleep. It's a no-kill shelter.
Ah, okay.
So what's the capacity that they want to build for this?
That I honestly don't have that piece of information.
Okay, is there a particular dollar goal that they're going for?
This is the first time they've ever done it, so it's open ended.
Okay.
They're just right now they're waiting to see how much they can get from an event like this. This is the first time they've tried something this large to raise funds. Normally, it's just solicitation either through Facebook or little local type events. It's nothing like they haven't done anything this big.
Okay, and then the second radiothon, as you mentioned, is December 6th. You're going to be staging that at the Somerset Collection in Troy, and it's going to be broadcasted. Gee, I've heard of this station before, WJR. What do you think there, Matt?
One's been around just a year or two.
Yeah, a year or two. Yeah. I do a show on Saturday at WJR. So that's going to have Mitch Albom himself, the godfather of talk and sports here in Detroit. So that'll be a fun one, yeah?
Yes, that's my favorite event of the entire year ever since I started doing it. I look forward to it. Just it brings my Christmas spirit, my own personal Christmas spirit. It's a beautiful event. So I look forward to that one every year.
And that's going to benefit whom or what?
That benefits Detroit's neediest citizens. So it benefits a plethora of charities, from veterans to pediatric clinics. There's parks, rebuilding of the parks. It takes care of a lot of homeless programs and feeding our homeless in Detroit. It covers a magnitude of areas.
And according to my notes here, you have collected more than $4 million in the fourth so about $1 million per each one, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The first year we came in, it was only the second year they had their radiothon. In the first year they did it with two analog handsets back, and they had Excel spreadsheets. It was this really archaic way of, you know, running a radiothon, but they did it in a pinch. Mm-hmm. They raised about $400,000 in that format.
Wow.
So, and then our first year of involvement, they raised just over $800,000, and then every year after that, we've been over $1 million.
Wow, that's great. Right in time for the Christmas season, and then the money gets dispersed out to make everybody have a happy holiday season, right?
Absolutely. It's 100%. What's important about that one is it's 100% of the monies go out back to the charities. There's no administrative costs. There's no overhead. You know, everything for that radiothon and almost everything Mitch does is covered by different, you know, donors and everything. It all goes to charity. Doesn't go to pay staff or anything like that.
So how many lines will you be operating at that event?
At the Mitch one, hold on, they just changed it. We're going to do actually 17 phones because we're adding a couple of behind-the-scenes direct inward dial numbers for like some of the, you know, like Hugh Jackman or those folks that call and do Skype. So we're going to put in a dedicated line for those folks in case there's any Skype issues.
Oh, so there's
this
like
year we'll do 17.
Okay, so there's a couple of VIP lines as well, sounds like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's very cool. And whereabouts in the mall? Do you know where in the mall it's going to be in case people want to pop in and say hello and, you know, wave and photobomb them and that sort of good stuff?
Yes, for the Detroit Dog Rescue, it's going to be in the Center Food Court at the West Bloomfield Mall. And for the Somerset, it's going to be in the, I'm not sure which campus it is because, you know, the Somerset is split between two campuses, but it's where Santa Claus is in Somerset. And
okay.
That should get people right to the location because we're right on the side of Santa Claus.
Yeah, that would be Somerset North. Yeah, that's the newer one. Yep.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what you guys are bringing in terms of technology to these various events. Your engineers and experts are going to be deploying to these locations. Let's talk about what sort of hardware they're going to be using.
So we're deploying the Polycom VVX310 phones. We also put out our Bullseye Virtual Tech. We use that prior to and during the event. The Bullseye Virtual Tech is used to test the circuit and stress the circuits, make sure that everything is good to go and we'll have good quality of service the day of the event. And then during the event, the Virtual Tech stays on the circuits to make sure if we see any latency or anything, we can switch over to the better circuit because each of the events gets two circuits installed. And that way we watch and make sure we can maintain, you know, 100% uptime in the call center. One of the other devices we use is our VeloBox, which is largely deployed for Bullseye's SD-WAN product. But for the call centers, we use the Velo to provide quality of service over the public internet. And then we also use it to prioritize the important traffic, like the credit card transactions and the broadcast signal over the regular web traffic, and make sure that that stuff stays up as well. And those are the main technology components that we deploy.
How do you use those in a non-telethon kind of environment? Are these some of your customers use this technology, or how does it use?
Oh, absolutely. Our hosted phones we deploy every day for, you know, our hosted PBX solutions, and customers use those in a multitude of ways. And our Velo device is also used in a multitude of ways. I listed just for this particular event, you know, for quality of service, for different types of traffic, and then, of course, voice over the public internet. In addition to that, the Velo device can be used to aggregate our broadband circuits. So if a site needs, you know, a large pipe and, you know, that area's rural and they can't get, you know, high-speed bandwidth, we can install two circuits and then bond them together with our Velo device. And it's also used for SD-WAN, which is a technology that's out there, the VoIP technology that's replacing the high-cost MPLS type of technology.
Hmm. All right. We got a minute or so left. Why don't you talk just real quickly about Bullseye Telecom? This may be the first time folks have ever heard of you. How do they find out more information?
You can find us at bullseyetelecom.com on the internet. We also have pages on LinkedIn and Facebook, all with the Bullseye Telecom name. We can be found there. But what we are is basically out here looking, you know, we're a VoIP provider to Fortune 500 and 1,000 customers, but we have a very large portfolio that goes all the way from, you know, VoIP, multitude of VoIP products along with broadband services and all the way down to plain old telephone lines.
Mm-hmm. All right. And one more time, the web address is?
www.bullseyetelecom.com.
All right. Thanks very much. Alethea Niner, Executive Resolution Specialist at Bullseye Telecom. Yeah, that's
Thank
a neat one. All right. Thanks for being on the show today. And keep an eye out for these radiothons coming up for the Detroit Dog Rescue and for Say Detroit, Mitch Albom's charity. We'll be back in just a minute with our next segment. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M2 TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M2 TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. And the empire is expanding into an adjacent building here in Royal Oak. These are exciting times.
We may even experiment a little bit with that video studio. When does that come online? Do you know?
I mean, your guess is because mine.
Nobody tells me anything. Sometime in the future.
It will be here
someday.
Soon.
Yes, yes. Soon. Yeah. Someday my studio will come. All right. So we have on the phone Ahmed Alomari, who's the CEO of CyberNOR, one of my sponsors. And he, you're into a lot of different things, but mostly we're going to be talking about what you're doing right now with autonomous databases, right?
Right.
Now, is this all Oracle? Is this all Oracle stuff, or is some of this going to be Microsoft stuff?
No, the autonomous database is a feature specific to Oracle.
Okay.
And what it is essentially is it's a cloud offering, which can either be on premise, what's called cloud at customer, or it can be running in the Oracle cloud, in the data center of the customer's choice. And essentially what it does is its main goal really is to, you know, deliver a, you know, an automated database for which, you know, in today's world, for example, obviously, typically when a database is managed, right, there's a lot of, you know, operational things that are required in terms of, you know, patching it, maintaining it, you know, manual tuning, creating indexes, gathering optimizer statistics, backing up, cloning, et cetera, you know, configuration management, all the things that are, you know, what we typically deem as operational tasks. And a lot of times that, you know, those tasks are very time consuming and often require, you know, a lot of resources in order just to manage it and kind of keep the lights on. So the goal of the Autonomous Database is to essentially provide, you know, a robust cloud offering for which the customer or the application can really just focus on, you know, managing their data, loading their data, you know, querying their data, things like that, getting value out of the data versus spending a lot of time managing the actual database and infrastructure, which is a very, you know, time-consuming task. So the Autonomous Database combines kind of three, you know, high-level components that are sort of integral in providing, you know, kind of a seamless and, you know, sort of self-driving database, as Oracle terms it. One is on the infrastructure side. So it runs on the Exadata platform, which is a high-end, you know, enterprise-class infrastructure that combines the concept of, you know, storage nodes, compute nodes, in order to, you know, optimize the database and deliver, you know, kind of maximum performance. It leverages a lot of in-memory processing, and it also leverages a lot of optimizations in terms of accessing the data, such as, for example, using storage indexes or pushing filters, you know, query filters, for example, all the way down to the, you know, storage nodes, so that the blocks, for example, data blocks that are produced only contain, you know, the rows of interest, versus normally the IO system is asked for, you know, a range of blocks, and then the, you know, SQL layer has to typically apply filters, such as, for example, you know, rows in this range, or, you know, records with this customer ID or something like that. So Exadata is one component in that, in order to kind of give it the elastic nature in terms of being able to scale up, you know, CPU and memory and storage, as well as provide the, you know, maximum performance that the cloud infrastructure can provide. The other piece of it is the database automation piece of it, which is automating a lot of tasks that are, you know, often today manual, such as, you know, a basic thing of gathering statistics, right? A DBA has to often gather statistics on the tables so that the optimizer can choose, you know, the optimal plans and things like that. And then the DBA has to kind of manually determine what a good time is, because you don't want to be gathering statistics when, you know, the system is busy and a lot of online users are using it. So you kind of have to find sort of a sweet spot, or maybe a, you know, a less than busy window or a quiet window where you can do that. And it's also very sensitive in terms of timing, because, for example, some, you know, tables like staging tables or interface tables, they're typically loaded and then, you know, processed, for example. So you don't want to gather stats when the tables are empty, because then that'll lead to, you know, suboptimal execution plans. You want to, you know, gather stats right after their tables are loaded, but, you know, before being processed, kind of thing. So there's a lot of, you know, manual intervention that's kind of required today to, you know, sort of manage a database manually. So a lot of those tasks are built into the database automation to essentially, you know, eliminate those tasks from the DB having to worry about that, so that they can focus on, you know, running and tuning the actual application versus, you know, tuning the infrastructure. And the third part about it is the workload optimization and machine learning application. And so, for example, you know, a DBA often spends a lot of time kind of hand-tuning the SQLs and trying to get the best execution plan. Sometimes that may be kind of tweaking the optimizer or tweaking the stats, or sometimes, you know, creating secondary indexes, et cetera. And so all that stuff can be optimized because, you know, Oracle obviously in the background can look at an execution plan and say, you know, is there a better plan possible? If there is, it can actually run it in the background. And then compare the timings and say, okay, you know, with this plan, it runs in 2 seconds. With this plan, it runs in 2 milliseconds. So it can choose, you know, the 2 millisecond plan without any, you know, human intervention. And so that's what the workload optimization component is. So again, it uses those three to kind of deliver that, you know, autonomous database, which is the, you know, Exadata infrastructure, automating or, you know, elimination of all the manual tasks that are required to, you know, run the database. And then using a lot of the workload optimization and machine learning algorithms to optimize the system as it's running.
So a lot of your customers, is this a brand new product then? Is that something you're now offering to your customer base?
Correct. We are offering it to our customer base and also offering the ability to migrate them through our lift and shift migration.
All right. And this was something that was a key messaging point at the recent Open World Conference. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other big messages out of that conference? I know it's a big deal in the database world. One of the things that was mentioned was the new release schedule for 18 and 19C, which is, the base of Oracle's database products, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the recent Open World Conference, which was in the week of the 22nd in October, main, of course, theme was essentially, cloud computing and cloud, services, including the database service. And then as part of the database cloud service, the release formats have changed. So previously the release was tied to, kind of just a numeric number, and typically was like sequential. So database, for example, was Oracle 8i, then it went to 9i when it was in the, internet age, and then it went to 10G and 11G, G being for grid computing. And then the current release, for example, is like 12C release 1 or 12C release 2. So, of course, no one likes to have a release 13. So Oracle decided to move to the year release. And so they adopted 18C, which was 2018 release. And then 19C will be the next one, which will be, in 2019. So they basically adopted the release numeric system based on the year that the software is released.
And they can worry about that again in 2113, I guess, right? Then they can change it again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's superstitious. There's no 13th floors. There's no 13th editions of Oracle. No, everybody stays away from that.
And there was an Apollo 13, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah, right? There you go. Well, that'll teach us, right? So, spitting in the wind. Let's see what happens, right?
So what's new in the new releases?
One of the really cool features that I liked, which is I think kind of a game changer, at least in the optimization space, is the automatic indexing feature, which is a new feature part of the database cloud service, and this is especially useful for packaged apps as well. I mean, for example, when I was at Oracle and we were working on, for example, Business Suite development, that product typically has about roughly maybe 23 to 24,000 tables, just because there's so many modules and each module has its own sets of tables. And then, then each table, of course, will have its own set of indexes that are kind of out of the box. And so you would, you'd end up with a schema of, say 23,000 tables plus maybe close to 50,000 indexes, because, we tend to kind of index everything that the customer might use. But in reality, the customer might not use all those modules, or even within a module, for example, he might be accessing the application in a certain way. And so those other indexes are not needed. So automatic indexing is really a useful feature because essentially the Oracle optimization will automatically determine what indexes are used, since, it's the one running the SQLs. So it knows, what filters are being used. It knows what optimal execution plan should be used. And so it'll suggest, and then it's a property whether you can, you can configure it to say either suggest or actually create the indexes. And it'll actually, suggest or create the indexes that are actually needed in order to, deliver the good performance, and then based on the actual how the application is being used. So, for example, like in eBusiness Suite, if you're using like the order entry module, you might not, for example, be using, blanket orders, or you might not be, for example, integrating with projects. So all those indexes that are on, blanket columns, or all those indexes that are related to project, IDs and numbers are not needed in your case. And so you can save, of course, all the storage costs, because typically of any large database, you'll typically have at least maybe 30 or 40% will be consumed by indexes, and the rest, of course, will be data. And so, not only can it reduce your storage footprint, but it can improve runtime performance because you don't have all that, overhead of, maintaining the index, and every time there's an insert, update, delete, the index has to be updated. So it's a really useful feature. They did multiple test cases in terms of a packaged app. So one of the packaged apps, for example, had 33,000 indexes. So they dropped all the non-unique and non-foreign key indexes, what we typically term secondary indexes. So they dropped all the secondary indexes and then ran this automatic indexing task. which would then analyze all the SQLs that are running. And then it suggested, you know, approximately several thousand indexes that are needed. And so imagine, you know, you're able to drop tens of thousands of indexes and keep only the, you know, a few thousand in this case, because it's a, you know, large scale enterprise app, which would, you know, is a huge benefit performance wise and storage wise. And another application that had about 5,000 tables, after running automatic indexing, the optimizer determined that only 50 indexes were actually needed based on how the app was being used. So I think this is a really great game changer because, you know, as I'm sure you guys have known in the past, you know, we have to spend a lot of time kind of hand tuning the queries and saying, oh, create this index, create that index. And it takes a lot of, you know, manual analysis of studying the SQL text, the execution plans, the filters, and then kind of weighing the cost of saying, yeah, the index is good for these queries, but it's going to slow down these, you know, batch inserts. So having all that, you know, automated is a really useful feature.
We've got a little bit less than 2 minutes left. Let's talk real quickly about what you guys do at CyberNOR. Obviously, you're heavily involved in Oracle, but you also do some Microsoft work, right?
Yeah, correct. So we're a systems integrator. Most of our customers have mixed applications, including an Oracle, SAP footprint, a Microsoft footprint. And we essentially do the technical implementations as well as the system integrations needed to integrate all the apps together. We also develop a lot of integrations, which is kind of a key feature these days when, you know, moving to the cloud. That's often one of the, you know, challenges of migrating to the cloud is all the application integrations that people would be using, including, you know, third-party software and things like that.
All right. And if people would like to get a hold of you for more information about all these services.
Sure. They can reach us on our website at www.cybernor.com, which is C-Y-B-E-R-N as in Nancy, O-O-R.com, or reach us by phone at area code 925-924-0400.
All right. Thanks very much. Ahmed Alomari, CEO of CyberNOR, a database and other IT services company. We'll be right back with our next segment of the M Squared TechCast. But for right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And I can remember my
name.
Yeah,
I was wondering what you mean.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thought it was Jessica Rangel.
Right here at podcastdetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Conflict. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, where we are doing business even during the commercials.
We are.
How
yes.
about that? All right. We have our regular guest here for her monthly appearance, Tim Berche. Tell them about your current gig here, your current title.
Yes. Changed just a little bit. So I am now with Invest Detroit Ventures.
Okay.
And I am the portfolio manager. So managing about 110 companies that we've invested in over the past 8 years.
And she has stock in every one of them.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I wish.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It'd be great.
But you have a guest with you here today who is one of those companies, correct? One of those portfolio companies?
Yeah, okay. 100%. So
well, let me
back up just a minute. I want to make sure that the business we were transacting and the actual
I'm going to do both. I'm going to do both here. So I could even go to the Red Wings game a little late, you know. So
tomorrow is the finals of the Accelerate Michigan Innovation Competition. We're in our ninth year this year. This is a pitch competition where we have 23 finalists out of 400 people who applied. It was crazy.
Can we get Matt a last-minute press credential?
I'm sure we can.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Then you covered, right?
Not
right.
a problem.
Right.
So we're going to be giving away $1 million in cash cash and prizes tomorrow.
Oh, just a million.
Okay. Just a million. Yeah, no but problem. I wanted to, Matt, did you know that Lawrence Tech is actually sponsoring one of the special prizes this year?
I had heard that.
The hardware prize. All right. Thanks to Lawrence Tech.
Yeah, that's our shameless plug bell. Whenever one of us plugs our employers, we have to ring the shameless plug bell.
Had to do it.
But yeah, so we are sponsoring the which award now?
The hardware prize.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense because we are about to announce a very exciting new development in terms of hardware for the local sort of entrepreneurship and business incubator community. So stay tuned for that one.
Well, it works out perfect, doesn't it? See how we do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'd love to have, we still have some space available for tomorrow afternoon. We're going to run from 4:30 to roughly 7:30 tomorrow night and give away a lot of money.
Okay.
And there's one prize that has not been decided yet that will be decided tomorrow, $10,000 for the People's Choice. So
cool.
Encourage everybody to come down and join us.
That'll doubt be M Squared TechCast will be the People's Choice.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
I was going
to
say.
Get the 10G. What do you think?
Sky's the limit,
Bahamas
baby.
For the holidays. I'm there. You
know, so. I don't think
that's not
what
we use the money for.
Oh, sorry.
Well, okay.
So, yeah. So, thanks for that. Great segue. So, yes. Enough about Invest Detroit and Accelerate Michigan, which will be great tomorrow. But today, we have one of our fabulous portfolio companies with us. I'm joined today by Laura Khoury, who's the founder and CEO of a company called ShopTelligence. So ShopTelligence is the first artificial intelligence style assistant that compels consumers to buy ensembles across categories and over time based on their style and function. So welcome, Laura.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here today. You have a very busy week, so I know that you're actually pitching tomorrow. You're a finalist at AMIC.
Yes.
And you're actually pitching tonight for the first Michigan Angel Summit.
I am very excited for that one also.
Yeah. So it's just great. There's actually, she's raising a round at the moment, and there is still room left in her round for other investors. So we're going to see about that tonight.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
So my background, I came from a non-retail space. My background's in strategy, technology, and analytics. So started my career at Accenture and then worked in migration of technology from green screens to e-commerce. Once we got e-commerce up and running, got into analytics now that we had a lot more insight and access to data. And then once we got there, then I went into, ironically, law. So I'm a recovering attorney and then went back to business, back into the analytics space at KPMG before I founded ShopTelligence.
Excellent. That's a great background. So how did the idea for ShopTelligence actually come about?
Actually, it was kind of early in my career. I was a frustrated consumer. I was making that leap from consulting to law and needed a more conservative wardrobe, went shopping, got very frustrated. And so had this idea of being able to walk into a store and have everything irrelevant to what I was shopping for, my physique, my taste, et cetera, just melt away and then be able to scan whatever I was interested in and see how I could use it with items I already own. And so the technology didn't exist. And when technology matured to a point where it could support something like that, around 2014, I jumped into the business.
Excellent. So how did you come up with the name for your company?
Actually, I cannot take credit for that. One of our board of advisors, we had kind of a contest going between three of us. And one night, he just called me. I was at dinner, and he said, I got the name, and I already bought the domain. So what do you think? I heard it, and I said, this is perfect. So the challenge isn't necessarily the name. The challenge is finding a name with a domain available with .com.
Sure. Absolutely. So tell us about your products. What are ShopTelligence's products?
Yeah. So ShopTelligence is what we call a style discovery platform. Our whole mission in life is to help both retailers and consumers. We help consumers achieve their goal in home furnishings and apparel of furnishing a complete room for getting an outfit for a complete outfit for an event. And so instead of having to hunt and peck for individual products, the shopper can curate a retailer's entire assortment and then get items that go together and be able to interact with them to really make that outfit or that room their own and then purchase the whole thing together. So instead of going to 10 stores, you now go to one store, you get your inspiration there, and you're able to achieve whatever your goal is.
So who is partnering with you to do this? I would have made redoing my home last year. Yeah. So much easier.
A lot faster, I bet. Yes. Huh? So in terms of our partners, we have a number of channel partners. Our focus right now, we focus primarily in furniture and apparel. So in furniture, we've got a number of different partners. We've got in-store technology partners that do kiosks like Wondersign. We've got e-commerce platform partners like Tailbase, who's out of Montreal, that serves exclusively the furniture and appliances industry. So they help us scale.
Excellent. So would someone who was maybe just buying a house for the first time who needed, you know, could say, I want to do the kitchen, mm-hmm. and it would help tell me what everything that I needed to put in that kitchen?
Yeah, exactly. So like if you think about shopping today from the consumer standpoint, typically, especially in furnishing a home, you go to Pinterest or you go to House, you find the inspiration, and then you say, okay, I like this sofa, or I like this cabinet, and I like this bar stool, and I like this, you know, whatever accessory. And then you have to go to your favorite retailer and then find each item individually. So mm-hmm. now, instead of doing that, you just go straight to your favorite retailer. And the retailer, once you land on a product you like, will show you an entire room around that specific product you like. And then you can switch out products to make it your own. So it makes shopping so much easier for the consumer, but then also helps the retailer grow their average order values, their basket size, by what we've seen over 60%+.
So let's say I wanted to do a man cave, okay? And I wanted it to look like an up north hunting cabin, right? Yeah. Could I just search for that phrase and then I would get a bunch of stuff for a room that would look like that?
So
is that kind of how it works?
So we tie to search. So the retailer helps you surface the most relevant products mm-hmm. in search. So if you type that in, yeah. And then once you go to a specific product, you'll see that around with the ensemble.
So I would get the couch and the table
yep,
and the...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. The what do they call it? The bust or whatever? The animal?
I don't think they call it the bust. No.
What do they call it?
That's the stuffed head.
The deer head.
Yes, yeah, right. That's the buck rack, I think.
Yeah. There you go. That will work, too. Yeah,
okay.
So, there's a new search term, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Well, I had to bring it to something I would understand, yeah. which would be a, gotcha. You know, up north hunting cabin.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, so those are your partners.
Yeah.
Who are the customers? Are the customers the people we've just been talking about?
The
like
retailer.
Matt and myself?
Yeah. No. Our customers are the retailers who ultimately serve consumers. So we're partnered with clients such as Gardner White, who's local to Michigan. We're just about to launch with a very large national retailer right now, and then we've got a handful of smaller retailers also that are across the country.
Excellent. So when you have that retail customer come on, how do you integrate Shoptelligence?
That's one of the most exciting things about our product. So our product, in order to work, only requires very basic product information. So we need the normal product catalog that they normally send to search engines. We need 5 fields of data off of it: item name, description, image, category, and price. And then they implement 3 lines of code on their site, and then it's done. Hmm. So it's a very fast implementation. For home furnishings and women's wear apparel retailers, we have everything already built out, so we're able just to ingest the catalog, and they can be live on the site on their site within 3 weeks, as fast as 3 weeks.
Wow. That's yeah. amazing.
Yeah.
So can you explain to me the difference between... you've already explained to me the difference between the customer and the retailer, and kind of what's specific to each group. So a question I have for you then, I guess, you've kind of answered some of those for me, but so with retail, the right sizing that's going on right now, mm-hmm. I was hearing something this morning on the radio about just all the stores that are going to actually be gone after this holiday season. With the right sizing or downsizing, however you want to put it, how do you see Shoptelligence evolving to adapt to those market changes?
So retail's not going away. It's just not going away. In fact, you saw a report. I just read a report that we've opened a net 2,000+ new stores this year. So retail's wow. on fire right now. And so there's a lot of exchange right now about this retail apocalypse. What's happening is the retailers that can't adapt to the new way the shopper is shopping are going to die. The ones that succeed in creating an experience and leveraging the store in order to deliver a style-based experience are going to win. And so what you're seeing right now is not retail necessarily reducing. It's grown quite quickly this year. What you're seeing is it's shifting toward a more experiential business rather than selling individual products and items.
So with you have such a technical platform, how do you generate new ideas at this point?
Oh, there are a million new ideas. My team is a very creative team, and we have a very large backlog. We have a lot of things that we want to do. But, you know, generating the initial idea for the business is one thing. But then the great thing about being live is you have customers coming to you and saying, hey, we like you. We like to use your service for this. Could we use it for something else? So a few of our recent innovations, we just launched one product with one of our clients, Living Spaces, Dynamic Curation. And then another one we're about to launch with another one of our clients, which is a visual merchandising tool. Those came from our thoughts, but the clients pushing us to get there, not pushing us in a good way. The coming up with new ideas, we can come up with a million of them, but then how do we qualify them to make sure that they're really a good product, a valid product idea is another question.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just trying it out, doing the testing and discovery. Fantastic. Exactly. How many people are on your team now?
We have 12 people on our team.
Wow.
Yeah, we're based in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
At the Spark. Yes.
At Spark Central.
I was just there a couple of weeks ago. I saw you walk by in the hallway there. So
It's a great facility, great organization.
Mm-hmm. Lots of great people.
Yeah.
That we'll see a lot of tomorrow, which is super. So I know you're raising a round right now. What type of round are you looking to raise?
So it's a priced round, so it's equity round. We have a little bit left in our round. We actually were oversubscribed, so we increased the limit.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. So we're very excited about that. So we're looking probably for one or two, maybe more investors in this round.
Ask your question, Matt.
Yes, I have to.
Sounds like she's got money, so she's probably going to be hiring people.
The
right?
question, yes. Are you currently adding staff, and if so, what skill sets?
Yeah, we're always looking for talent. Tech talent in this town is very hard to get, and I'm sure we're not alone. So we're always looking for engineering talent, data science talent, and sales. Okay. Those three.
There.
And how do they find you?
How do they find
if
us?
If they're those talented people.
Except to go to that Spark Central, you'd be walking around down there somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
You know, absolutely. You'll see big signs for ShopTelligence everywhere. Yeah. But www.shoptelligence.com is our domain. And then we also have postings on AngelList. So that's probably the second best place. And then TrueJob is another area that we've got. And then if you're coming back for Tech Homecoming the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will also be there and happily networking with people looking to relocate back to Michigan.
Michigan, that used to be a program here in the state, that might be before your time, but they were trying to recruit middle-aged people from, I don't know, middle-aged, but just people that had gone to the West Coast and discovered what a wonderful place it is, but I can't afford a $1.5 million house, right? And so they had the Michigan program, and they sent the MEDC out there to recruit these people to come back to Michigan again.
What a fabulous name and idea.
Yes. Have to revive it. I think that was under the old administration. I'm not sure if Jeff Mason's doing that right now.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's getting ready to change jobs, I think, here shortly. So
he might be doing that.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it's the first year for the Michigan Homecoming, and it's happening in Ann Arbor. It's Wednesday night.
It's been around. They've been doing it for a couple of years.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great idea when it was my first year of seeing it. I thought, what a great time, because that's typically when everybody does come home is that Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
Yeah. It's great.
And you'll be there to throw contracts at them and stuff, right?
Our team will be there to talk to them, tell them about ShopTelligence, and see if there's a good fit.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'll be in Seattle over that time period, so I'll be helping you recruit out
Fantastic.
There.
Fantastic. They've got tech talent there, too.
I heard that.
Bring it back.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Amazon's got 50,000 people now. Jeez. All right. That's we got about a minute left, Jess. I'm looking at you.
Yep.
Get the good finger. Okay.
So the last thing with this final round. So what is the... Real quickly, what do you want to do after you get funded for this? The one most important thing you want to do with the funding?
Grow. So sales, grow sales, basically.
New location? I mean, you're kind of getting constrained in there, right?
No, we should be all right for a little bit. Okay. So our goal is really to drive sales and marketing. We're doing great in furniture. We've got some good traction in apparel. So now it's time to hit the gas. We've got validated results, right? The average order value of shoppers who engage, the growth is just is crazy. And so our goal is to really grow.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
All right. Well, this is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Roush.
And we'll be right back with an exciting segment with 123net. Right, Chuck?
That's right.
Okay.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with today's final segment of the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com.
Yep.
We're talking with our buddies at 123.net.
Yep.
Which is...
Well, actually, 123.net.
Oh, 123.net.
Net, right? Net.net.
123.net, but legally it's 123.net.
Oh, it is 123.net. Oh, okay, all right.
We like to shorten things up, you know, keep it simple.
Yeah. That was Ihor Diachenko, the crazy Ukrainian here that runs their marketing department. And we also have with us Chuck Irvin, Director of Network Development. How are you doing today, Chuck?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having us.
All right. So I guess we're going to be talking about the Detroit Internet Exchange a little bit, right? What's happening with that? That's part of our update today.
Yeah, that's right. So the Detroit Internet Exchange is doing really well. We've got a brand new website that we just launched. You can check that out at det-ix.com. Got some new members that you guys are probably familiar with, Facebook and Amazon.
Heard of them, yeah.
Yeah. But have you heard of this
little
next
outfits,
one?
Little outfits, all right? I mean, we can get just some big startup customers,
yeah.
Right?
Come yeah. on. But you might not have heard of this next one. Have you guys heard of Twitch?
Yeah.
Do you know what Twitch does?
No.
No, I've heard the name.
So Twitch is a streaming video platform. It's kind of made a name for itself in the video game streaming world.
Okay.
So something, you know, maybe your kids or grandkids would be a little bit more familiar with. But it also...
I think you're saying we're old.
I think he's right, too.
Yeah, so
it's a way my son gets around watching YouTube. It goes on Twitch to watch Fortnite.
He just looked at me when he said grandkids. So, you know.
Go ahead.
Okay.
But also talk shows. You can go on there and watch live talk shows, too. So maybe you could, get the podcast up on a live stream someday with video.
Well, that's actually one of the platforms I'm looking at. Ihor knows about it, but we're getting ready to launch a cloud-based video platform where you can do live interviews and stuff.
Oh, awesome.
And so we're looking for distribution points when you're live. You want to have it on YouTube Live. You want to have it on Facebook Live. We're going to try to work something out with LinkedIn because that's where all the business people are. But, yeah, I'd heard Very of that cool. before, but... I'm the content guy. My business partner is the video geek, so he's in charge of all that stuff. So
gotcha. So Twitch is a new member of the exchange, and so our membership is now up to 35 members, and our traffic is peaking at 45 gigabits per second.
Wow!
So it keeps growing, and as more carriers move into the carrier hotel in 123net's data center, we expect that membership and capacity to continue to grow as well.
Well, when I stopped over there last month to visit you all, I Managed Way was in there. I didn't realize they were in there until I was snooping around. Being a reporter is what I do, right?
Yeah.
So, it's a big facility you have there.
Yeah, definitely. Not just Managed Way, but there's a lot of other carriers that have a presence there. You know, the idea of a carrier hotel is really to attract those carriers and to bring value, to the data center tenants.
Mm-hmm.
You could compare that to, a non-carrier hotel data center where, you know, the data center owner is really the only connectivity provider or closely controls kind of the connectivity access.
Mm-hmm.
But with a carrier hotel, of course, all of the data center tenants have access to all the carriers that are there. And the more carriers you can get in your carrier hotel, the more desirable of a location it is, and the more value that brings to the tenants.
How many physical entities do you have in there right now in that building? It's a big building. It's like, what, 12, 14 stories tall or something? Yeah,
just 7 stories.
Just 7. Oh, it looked 12 or 14 to me, you know. So
I think it's 130,000 square feet or so, and we've got 3 floors built out with data center space. We actually just moved a tenant into our floor that we most recently completed. But there's over 25 different carriers that have a presence there today. Yeah,
no
so
kidding.
It's actually the most connected carrier hotel in Michigan.
Yeah.
So
what kind of a pipe do you have? I mean, is everybody's pipe combined kind of thing when you've got that many players in there? Bandwidth has got to be, like you say, tremendous, right?
Yeah. So we've got actually 5 different fiber entrances into the facility,
mm-hmm.
and a carrier will typically build into one of our handholds near, mm-hmm. In the right of way.
Sure.
And then they'll hop on our house fiber cables on mm-hmm. one of those 5 entrances. We'll get them to what's called a meet me room, and in that meet me room, they can connect their outside plant fiber directly to their cabinet,
mm-hmm.
and they can also cross connect to other tenants inside the data center.
Wow, mm-hmm.
okay.
Interesting.
So you must you must be doing a lot of stuff along Northwestern Highway there. It seems like I always see trucks outside the building doing something, right?
You know, yeah,
those are new people being hooked up.
There is almost always fiber work going on in and around the area. So. You'll see a lot of people out there splicing fiber cables or installing new fiber cables for sure.
Yep. So let's talk about the number of lit buildings you've got these days. That's on the rise too, right?
Yeah. So I think last time we spoke in July, we had just reached a 600 lit building milestone.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're actually over 760 lit buildings.
Wow.
So we've been pretty busy the last few months.
You get much sleep or...?
Not too much. Enough, though.
But you get a cot there or something, right?
Yeah, just sleep in the building, right?
Yeah, that would work.
When you're working. But we've actually just purchased our 9th directional drill and mm-hmm. spun up our 9th outside plant construction team. And we're currently turning up about 3 lit buildings every day.
Wow.
So continuing to add to that.
That's amazing. List. I didn't realize you were expanding that rapidly. So
yeah.
I know I live in Ann Arbor and I see your trucks over there. So how big is your footprint? What sort of a service area do you have?
So we cover all of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
But predominantly our fiber network is in Metro Detroit, and I kind of consider Ann Arbor, Lansing, Flint, and Saginaw as extensions and Midland of Metro Detroit, and then the other big focus is Grand Rapids.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on over there.
Oh yeah, what's the farthest north and the farthest west lit building that you have at this point? Do you know?
That's a good question. We're up in Mount Pleasant, and we've got some network up in Traverse City as well.
Well, that's good because he's going to retire up there, so that's why he's
asking. Needs a fast access.
Right.
And with this pokey stuff.
Yeah.
As far west as Holland and Kalamazoo. Okay.
Can't go any farther west than Holland. Yeah, that's
well,
for sure.
Unless you have a boat.
Yeah. But that's
not
true.
Much good for cable, though.
Yeah. So, wow, you guys are, I didn't realize you're expanding that fast. That's amazing. That's good. All right. So, what sort of benefits, I think, did we talk about that? Who benefits from a carrier? Yeah, we did. All right. So, what's next for the carrier hotel? I'm working off a list here.
Yeah. That was actually a really good transition. You guys are talking about going as far west as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next big goal, to kind of bring more of an advantage to our carrier hotel here in Metro Detroit is to build a bridge to the largest neighboring carrier hotel over in Chicago. So, extending our network even further west.
Mm-hmm.
There's a facility out there. Have you guys ever heard of Equinix?
Yes.
The Equinix Data Center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the model that we're trying to build, our data center here in Detroit off of. It's even larger of a carrier hotel, and it's out over there in Chicago on 350 East Saramac. So building a new dark fiber route to connect these two is kind of the next plan, the next exciting thing we've got going on. You guys probably have heard of Sprint, obviously the cell phone company.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you know what Sprint stands for?
I do.
Well, go ahead, Matt.
Southern Pacific Railroad, and is it IT after that?
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, they originally started
really
out.
He would know that stuff.
That's impressive.
they originally started out laying fiber alongside the railroad bed because they already had the right of way. So they were forward thinking enough to do that, right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. It was the early 90s when they put that together, and they were actually the first company to build a fiber route from coast to coast across North America.
Along the railroads, and so appropriate.
That's so 19th
you know?
Century.
Yeah,
yeah,
you think iron that, horse right? running yeah, down right. the side there yeah. next to the fiber horse, right? Yeah. So
30 years later, we've got a similar plan, obviously on a much smaller scale, but using some railroad right-of-way to build a new fiber cable, from Detroit to Chicago, passing through Toledo and South Bend. Hmm. And it's interesting to think, you know, how good of a solution railroads are for building fiber. If you can go 300 miles from Detroit to Chicago with a single permit, that's a huge advantage. And comparing that to building through every city, getting a different permit every time you change jurisdiction, you can see how it's much easier using a railroad for that.
Right yeah, away. I know the Amtrak line. I've taken the Wolverine to Chicago from time to time rather than driving. So just shoot straight through, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the other big advantage is that right-of-way is really safe. The railroad companies, of course, you know, they want to control who does construction in their right-of-way.
Oh, of course.
You know, do you want to disrupt the integrity of that rail bed? So because that construction and what's allowed to happen in that railroad right-of-way is really closely controlled, if you put network in there underground, it's often much safer than almost any other place you could put it.
Wow.
All right. So you're also investing in long-haul fiber. What's the plan there, and what's the benefit for Michigan?
Yeah. So this long-haul fiber route is essentially going to act as a bridge between these carrier hotels, and a lot of these routes already exist. Obviously, there's already fiber from Detroit to Chicago, but those cables are owned by very large carriers that often won't lease or sell dark fiber to smaller carriers like us. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is we want to build this cable and make it available to carriers our size and ones that are smaller and bigger than us, and kind of open the door to anyone that wants to own dark fiber strands in that cable, with the goal of increasing, you know, the competitors that can offer services from here to Chicago, driving down costs and improving reliability.
Are you looking to acquire any companies? I mean, because I know a lot of companies in West Michigan that are sort of out there. And is that something you guys are looking to do too, or?
We've really focused on organic growth throughout our history, but we certainly have done some acquisitions in the past. And if the right network, comes up and it's a good fit for us, we've purchased companies, and certainly would consider doing that again.
Because I'm drawing a complete blank, of course, but there's a company over in Grand Rapids that does a lot of dark fiber, and I just can't think of
the name. U.S. Signal.
U.S. Signal, yes.
Yeah.
U.S. Signal was who I was thinking of, because they're a big dark fiber company. You're smiling, so I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, they're quite a bit bigger than we are, actually.
Oh, are they?
So they've got, they're kind of like a Midwestern-sized fiber footprint.
But first Michigan and then the Midwest. I mean, that's the 1-2-3 plan, right?
Yeah. So. You know, part of this new route stopping in Toledo and in South Bend at some key data centers is going to allow us to extend our network into those cities. So we're excited about that.
I'm not flashing you the peace sign. I'm giving you that you have a 2-minute warning. So let's talk a little bit about 1-2-3net in particular. So, Matt, I know you're dying. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the Matt question. Yeah. Are you hiring right now, and if so, in what skill sets?
Yeah, we certainly are. We're hiring in a lot of different areas. I think we just reached 190 employees.
Wow.
And we're hiring in the construction fields.
Yeah, I would imagine. You guys are building like crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Directional drill operators, splicers, network operations technicians, AutoCAD designers, and that's just in the fiber world. We're also looking for people to help our accounting team. I don't know if you're looking for people on your marketing team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always looking.
So everywhere.
Hey, there you go. You know, got to keep him busy, so that idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? So.
All right, give us that website again for 1-2-3.
Sure, it's www.123.net.
Okay. Want to thank Chuck Irvin, Director of Network Development at 1-2-3.net, and thank all of our guests today. We want to thank Tim Berchet of
Invest Detroit. Yeah,
now, I got to get that right.
You were going to say that other one.
I was
going to
say the last one. Yeah, okay, I know. Yeah. And her guest, Laura Curry, CEO of Shoptelligence. We also had with us earlier today Ahmed Alamari, CEO of Cybernor, which relocated here to Southfield from Silicon Valley, which is a pretty cool story.
Well, he relocated. He still has most of his operation.
Yeah,
well,
now he's got some in India and Iraq, too. It's really a global company.
Yeah, he really is. And he's a local Michigan guy that wanted to come home. So.
Yeah. Well, we like those. And we started off the show with Alethea Niner of Bullseye Telecom talking about high-tech temporary call centers for for radiothons, which is a really interesting niche business.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of it. I think they're giving that away. I think that's a charity thing. So they have one this coming Saturday and then one in December. The Mitch Album one is in December.
Yeah, and that's the $1 million one.
That's the million dollar one.
All right. Well, thanks to all our guests today. We will be back in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
Yes, we're taking Thanksgiving week off.
29th, I think it is, or 26th. Well, it's a week after Thanksgiving.
Well, everybody listens to this at all sorts of weird times anyway. Yeah. So we'll be back the Monday after Thanksgiving.
That's right.
We'll put it this way.
You're probably listening on demand on the podcast. You don't really care, right?
Yeah, right. So. Until then, this is Matt Rouse.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rouse and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.